before I set up the hedge fund in 2004, and when I was writing for the Financial Times and doing my show on Bloomberg TV, yes, credentials informed, I would look at funds like this. This one didn't exist back then. I'd look at funds like this and point out the problems that exist with such workplace pensions. And of course, whilst the job of workplace pensions is to make sure you get absolutely no returns, they won't say that. They nevertheless do correctly invest in US equities, global equities, all seems very sensible. Now, they're going to give you the kinds of returns you're going to get from global fixed interest, but they've only put 9% in there. They've put 40% in US equities. So, given that US equities has 40% of the capital and that the S&P 500 went up 25% last year and the NASDAQ went up 55% last year, let's assume they just do half as well as those. So maybe 11, 12% in a year. Okay, and then they've put very unhelpfully 0.3% in Irish and 0.33%. Now, some of you will defend this. You will say, well, you see, they're diversified. Of course, they put 0.3% in German equities. No, it's pointless. Okay, of course, they didn't target German equities. It just so happened that it was a company which had which happened to be in Germany. But this is what then worries me. They've not put it into those equities directly. What they've done is they've taken your money. And then they charge you a fee, and then they put it into other funds, and those funds have then put it into these instead. So what's actually happened is you're paying two sets of fees. Again, not necessarily a problem if they deliver a return. Carbon footprint, waste to landfill, well, that doesn't pay your rent. So how is the performance? Well, year two, now we're going rolling performance. To 30, we've got to read these carefully because bloody hell, they make it difficult. The 1 year to 2023, when the S&P was up 25% and the NASDAQ was up 55%, this was up 14%. I don't care about their benchmarks. Everyone picks a benchmark, which is easy to beat. Any idiot knows that. So we leave that out. Okay, 14%, not too bad, albeit had you picked the stocks that they themselves had in the US equities. Through these other funds, you of course would have done significantly better, but 14 you'll live with. The 14 just made up for the past year before that, where they were down 11%. Now you might as well down 11%. What could you do? Well, okay, let's not blame them for not having the foresight in January 2022, or February 2022, or March 2022, or April 2022 to go into cash because they can't. Okay, so let's just say, hey, they took a hit of 12% there, which the 14 here. So for 2 years, you basically had no return. Now, you might say, well, I'm happy with that, Alpesh, because they've got children with school fees to pay. And, it's my duty when I work to make sure that fund managers who are of a higher caste should and class should do better than me. So it's fine. But actually, the problem I have is they've got you a 0% return over those 2 years. 2021 was a very good year for the market, and thankfully they captured some of that, not all of it, by any means. Okay, so over 3 years then, you basically had a 16% return over 3 years, which, do a bit of maths, works out at slightly over 4% per annum. I get 4.5% on Wise on my bank account. I didn't get it in 2021, of course, because interest rates were lower. They kept in track with that because over the 4 years, they had 3% obviously in 2020. Okay. So you can sort of see what the worrying thing here is. Over 3 years, we're getting 5.63, they say. 5 years, 7%. Given risk-free is 4.5% at the moment, but it wasn't over that period, I'm not particularly impressed, basically, is what I'm saying with all of this. Now, you might say, look, Alpesh, I can't manage my own portfolio. I don't want to do this myself. And that's perfectly fine. Then you've got to pay fees, you've got to give it away. And as I said, you might feel a sympathy towards fund managers with children and private school fees, and that they've got to make payments too. And that's perfectly fine as well. But my own view is the fundamental reason these ones fail is they've sprayed and prayed into too many equities. They've sprayed and prayed into a lot of funds, different funds. They've got unnecessary costs. By having negligible amounts like this or this. And you might say, well, they need to have some bonds. Well, they've got US equities as well. It's an odd mix to have bonds and US equities. Either you're into equities and you're going for growth, which is what the American market is, or you're going for bonds. But trying to be everything to everyone just means you've got a hodgepodge where you've got negligible sums in companies by accident or design. Anyway, so there seems to be layers of fees. Personally, of course, I could say the simple option is you would have just had an index tracker, which obviously would have done a hell of a lot better. Or if you want to make the effort and try and get the NASDAQ type returns, which would require once every 6 years, like 2022, knowing how to step back into cash for a year, then you'd be looking to try and capture those bigger returns that you get either from an S&P or a NASDAQ. Now, this isn't going to be suitable then for my mum. She's not going to be able to do that. It's going to be suitable for about 10% of people who want to manage their own SIP. Thankfully, the government invented SIPs because they knew people were getting screwed on this, so they could try and do it themselves. Well, that's my solution. Have a look at the links in the bio. Have a look at campaignforamillion.com, why it's important that you do get on top of this. Thank you.